And welcome to episode 59 of Yins Are Good, the podcast that shares and celebrates all of the good stuff going on out there, all of the good news and the good people who are making that good stuff happen. I am your host, Tressa Glover. Thank you so much for listening in today. I'm glad that you're finding time or carving out some time to join us again this week. And I think you will not be disappointed, if I may say. This is a follow-up episode. And we've only done one other like this, but I'm so excited to share with you some updates from some of the folks who have been on the show already. As you know, that's part of my mission with this show, is not just introducing all of us to perhaps some groups, organizations, people whom we weren't familiar with, but hearing more about them and then also keeping up with them, you know, keeping track and finding out what's going on now. Do they need help? Do they need volunteers? Or are they doing something that I might be interested in or people that I know would be interested in? So staying, you know, up to date in that way. So I'm excited. I'm not going to say who, but we have four. I'll say that. Not statements of fact, but and also, don't be concerned, Don will be joining us again, of course, to try his hand at another round of Name That Neighborhood. And I also wanted to share, the other day as I was driving home, I was stopped at a stop sign, and, you know, like you're supposed to, and there were three little boys selling lemonade, and, you know, lemonade, lemonade, and that whole scene, and it took me back to my younger years of doing lemonade stands in front of my house with my friend Ginny, who, what a friendship we had, really growing up together. And yes, we would have this lemonade stand. And then we got a little fancy. We started making muffins, the recipe off the Bisquick box. And we added chocolate chips to them, like you do. And we started selling them. And then I remember one time we wanted to, and there was no Bisquick. And we made our own recipe. I have no idea what was in it, but they were pretty good. I remember that. We were very happy about that. I felt very accomplished. but it just ultimately took me back to those times. And as I finished my drive home, I just had the big smile on my face. And I'm so grateful for those days and those times and for that friendship I had as a kid. And it was the summer before we went into high school. Ginny's family moved and out of Pittsburgh, you know, pretty far across the country. Oh, and it was so hard. And we stayed in touch at first, but then, like things happen, we fell out of touch. And then for my 30th birthday, my family surprised me, big old surprise party. My family very much into surprises. And they found her. Got in touch, connected with her, and she came to Pittsburgh to my surprise party, and we reconnected, and she ended up being in our wedding. Oh my gosh. And just so grateful for that, for my family, for going, you know, everything. I mean, that party itself and all they did and all of the people who were there to celebrate, but then going to those lengths and finding her. And allowing us to reconnect again. It was just so special. So I've been thinking a lot about that this week. And so I want to thank my sister Debbie, especially, and my mom was part of that as well. And to Ginny, to all of you, yins are good. And I think we should just get to the rest of this, yes? And just a reminder, if you want to share a story of kindness, right? An act of kindness that you experienced, that you witnessed, Just something good that's going on. Someone you want to thank. Someone you're grateful for. Someone who makes your life better. Any and all of those things and more. Just email us here at yinsaregood@gmail.com so we can share it on the show. And now, let's get to the good stuff. All right, let's get to it. First up, the Westview Hub. You may remember them from episode 15. Founder Scott Pavlot, to be specific, came on and chatted with me.
The mission is really to help underserved communities regain and retain their vibrancy as a counter effect to poverty, declining business communities, and changing demographics. We do this by creating hubs, or you can think of it as a center that provides specialized programs based on the unique needs as defined by the community. You know, I've been a Pittsburgh native. Yeah, I'm a Pittsburgh native. Been living in the North Hills my entire life. I grew up on the edge of Westview and had a career in technology sales, and was given the opportunity to retire early, which I did. I took that opportunity and decided to put my life in a totally different direction. And by doing this type of work, while it doesn't financially give me the rewards that I was accustomed to, it gives me much greater rewards in terms of satisfaction and peace in my life, really. I mean, this is something that I really feel called and driven to do.
Ah, love it. They are a hub indeed. You may remember they provide access to a variety of resources. They have a library with computers and internet access. They have support services such as the food pantry and a counseling center. They have programs for local kids, among other resources. So let's talk about these summer programs, yes? So they have Kids Passport Statecation, which is Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays from 10:15 to 11:30 a.m. And this is where kids learn about a different U.S. state every day. How fun is that? I want to take this. I want to go to this program. I know it says kids, but maybe I'll email Scott and ask him. I love this idea. Then they also have Summer Discoveries, which is a kindergarten through third grade enrichment program, which is reading and STEAM. There it is again. Reminds me of my conversation with Assemble, but science, technology, engineering, arts, and math activities. And that's Thursdays at 4 p.m. They also have summer acrylic painting for middle schoolers. That starts on August 1st, and it's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then, oh, there's more. Steel City Shakespeare Center Summer Camp from July 11th through July 15th. And that actually you sign up by contacting Steel City Shakespeare directly. And all of this information is on Westview Hub's website, which of course will be in our show notes, but it is westviewhub.org. Then, okay, they also have movie nights. Wednesday nights, 6 p.m. As they say, bring a blanket and enjoy a double feature and free popcorn. So what's coming up here on July 6th, the double feature, I should say, Toy Story and E.T. July 20th, The Incredibles and Star Wars Episode 4. August 3rd, The Bad Guys and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. They got something for everybody with those double features. So again, thank you, Scott, so much for all you're doing and for being a guest on the show and for all that you and your team continue to do at Westview Hub. And now, next up for us here, our friends at the Northside Leadership Conference. We're going way back here in our show history, episode 8. So that would be November of 2020. That's when I talked to Jesse Deskutner, the Main Street and Events Manager there at the Northside Leadership Conference.
So The Northside Leadership Conference is the Community Development Corporation for the Northside. It's a little complicated to explain because we wear a lot of hats. We do real estate development. We have a partnership with Allegheny General Hospital and do different health and wellness initiatives. We just recently partnered with the Census Bureau to do census awareness push to help get people signed up for the census. We do business development. And one of the main things that we do, the general public would be familiar with, are our events, which this year was a very unique year, and a majority of them did not happen. But we usually do the Deutschtown Music Festival and Northside Sandwich Week, Northside Mardi Gras. We do a bike brewery tour. I mean, one of the best features of Deutschtown in East Ohio Street, and honestly, just all of the Northside business districts, are that a majority of businesses are locally owned. Lots of mom and pop shops, a lot of legacy businesses that have been here for decades. So we have a very, small town energy.
So they've got a ribbon cutting ceremony coming up in Observatory Hill, to be exact. So the ceremony and open house is for the 5 Points Project at the corners of Perrysville Avenue, Bayview Street, East Street, and Mairdale Avenue. And a little history here. So ground was broken for this renovation. $1.7 million renovation, as a matter of fact, back in 2018, as part of an ongoing redevelopment effort. And this project covers first and second floor spaces totaling 11,794 square feet. So, this ceremony, this open house happening on June 27th, and four commercial spaces and six affordable apartments will be open for touring. Hooray! And now, let's hear a little bit from Thrive Pittsburgh.
Thrive is an acronym. It stands for Together Helping Refugees and Immigrants via e-sourcing. A lot, that's a big mouthful there, but that's why Thrive was developed for that reason, that name. It's comprised of citizens in the North Hills primarily who are concerned for the plight of refugees and immigrants. It's comprised mostly of Christians, but there are other members of various North Hills congregations who are involved as well. It started in my husband's congregation, the North Hills Community Baptist Church, as a result of a sermon that he gave, I believe it was in 2017, in response to the devastation of the Syrian Civil War. And the infamous photograph that many people saw of the bloodied little boy, apparently in shock after a bombing attack by Assad on his town. And it really struck our congregation and caused many of us to reflect and to form small groups to try to see what how we could confront injustices in our world. And Thrive was born out of that small group. And by late 2018, it had grown beyond our congregation to include other interested individuals from a variety of faith backgrounds. We became a nonprofit in that year. And our mission, basically our mission in Thrive is to, and this is our official mission statement, to practice hospitality by connecting newly arrived immigrants and refugees via e-sourcing or e-crowdsourcing with members in the Pittsburgh community. So essentially, we saw a need for hospitality, which goes beyond the government-sponsored refugee resettlement agencies, what they can do. So we saw that harnessing the sort of the power of social media and crowdsourcing that as an effective means of helping refugees and immigrants feel welcomed and become independent, feel cared for.
And that idea, of course, of connecting those, and especially these refugees and these circumstances. I mean, the trauma and the loss that for most of us we can't really wrap our brains around, I don't think. And
Absolutely.
right, and to come to a brand new everything, just having the resources or having a place or people who can help connect them to their new home and to, you know, just in any way to be able to help as they're going through so many things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That connection we thought was the most important thing to help people really feel that they're becoming a part of this new culture that they're in. And not just feeling like guests in a foreign land, you know, kind of thing.
So, yes, this is back episode 19 when I spoke with Pauline Spring, the director of Thrive Pittsburgh. And you may remember that during our interview, we realized that we knew each other already through my oldest and dearest friend, Trisha. That we had spent Christmas Eve together at Trisha's family's house, that we had just seen each other less than a year before and realized it as we were talking on the phone. But what can I tell you about what's going on right now? So Thrive Pittsburgh has a Welcome Blanket Knit Along. So Welcome Blankets is a national project where crafters come together to create blankets to welcome immigrants. And Thrive is making welcome blankets for newly arrived immigrants to Pittsburgh. So these blankets overall are 40 inches by 40 inches. And so the easiest way to participate is to either knit or crochet an 8-inch by 8-inch square, which will then be joined with other squares. Now, for those of you more ambitious crafters out there, if you want to create larger panels, you sure can. All they ask is that they be in 8-inch increments so that they can fit them together with the other squares. I mean, you can even make a whole blanket if you want to. And they do have a couple of links on their site, thrivepittsburgh.org, that show the basic instructions for both knitted and crocheted squares. They also let you know what type of yarn is best to use, all the details. They also have ready-made squares which need to be crocheted together. So if you wanted to help on that end of things, you can and just let them know. Now, for those of you who don't knit or crochet, I would be in that category, they do accept donations to purchase yarn and or actual yarn donations as well. So again, go to their website to find all of the details and also who you can contact should you have any questions, would like more specifics. And of course, all of this is in our show notes as well. And now, who do we got? Beverly's birthdays. Yay! So the most recent of our guests who've been on the show, episode 38. And that is when I was able to do an in-person interview, which was so awesome, with the founder of Beverly's Birthdays. All right, here we are. So excited. Megs.
Hello.
Hello. First of all, it's just so nice to meet you, and we've been talking, and it's just so nice.
Thank you. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to share some cheer.
Oh, my gosh. So where should we even start? Let's just do, if you don't mind, maybe, just telling us, what's the mission of this amazing place and how did it all get started?
Absolutely. So hello, everyone. I'm Megs. I am the executive director and founder of Beverly's Birthdays. And if you're unfamiliar with Beverly's Birthdays, our mission is to provide birthday cheer and critical baby care items for children experiencing homelessness and families in need. So we started the organization back in 2012 and 2022 is our 10th birthday year. So Woo! We've actually been doing this for a decade of cheer. And people often ask, well, how did this even come about? What is the origin of Beverly's Birthdays? So I'm going to rewind 11 years ago. Okay. And I was working at a local university. My job was to connect college students to needs in the community. I was their director of volunteer services. And so the college students often volunteered at a local after-school center. I went up one afternoon to do a site visit. I sat next to a young girl named Beverly. She was 11 at the time, and she was working on her reading homework. She had to use the word accustomed in a sentence and did not understand what that meant. And so I said, Beverly, at birthday parties, people are accustomed to eating what? And she looked at me and she said, Miss Megs, I've never had a birthday party. I've never even had my own slice of birthday cake. And that is the moment that changed the trajectory of my life. I will never forget how I felt. I was holding back tears. I was mostly mad and embarrassed that it had never dawned on me that birthdays for children who might be in difficult circumstances were being forgotten. And I had worked with populations. I worked with juvenile offenders in the past. So I knew, and it just never dawned on me. And so I immediately composed myself. We found a new meaning of the word. We moved on. And I went home that night with just tears in my eyes. And I called my mom and I called my husband. And I said, I would gladly give up all 26 birthdays if there are more Beverlys out there. I'm going to do something about this. And I really, at that point in time, that was in March of 2011. I didn't really know what that meant, but it was on my heart. And in June of that year, I stumbled upon a contest that Scholastic Books, so think Clifford the Big Red Dog, was doing, and it was called Be Big in Your Community. Anyone could submit an idea to make their community better. And I thought, all right, how about I write up something Beverly's birthdays? And although Beverly herself was not experiencing homelessness, I wanted to make sure I could work with a population that I could connect to agencies. So I submitted the entry and, you know, off I went with my life. Well, a few months went by, and I remember I got home from work one afternoon and there was a package from Scholastic Books on the doorstep. And I thought, I didn't order any books. Like, it kind of had escaped me.
Yeah.
And I opened it up and I found out of 1,000 entries in the nation, I won. And it was crazy exciting. God. And I remember my first reaction was actually, I can do this now. I wasn't anticipating it. So I, out of 1,000 entries in the nation, I won. And the prize was $2,500. It was going to come in January of 2012.
Okay.
And it was $2,500 to basically kickstart. It was seed money, so to speak. So in February of 2012, Beverly's birthdays, we got our first 501c3 application. Yay. So we were official. And we held our first birthday party. And we partnered with an organization that we're still proud to partner with today. It's local to Pittsburgh, called Sojourner House Mom.
Yes.
And they do some addiction recovery-based programming, supportive housing, rapid rehousing.
We've actually had them on the show.
Oh, great. Yes. I love Sojourner House.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're best friends forever. Like, we have a long-standing history.
Oh, yeah.
So it was in February of 2012, and we came, and we were celebrating two young girls, one who was turning 11 at the time and another little girl who was turning 4. And they were in the transitional housing program, and their parents are reintroduced back into their lives, and we're going to have a princess diva themed party. It's going to be great. So we're there with my husband and close family and friends, and I will never forget the moment I watched little Amasia blow out her birthday candle. Like, you could tell wholeheartedly that this was the first time that this experience was happening for this child. Just the wonder and the look and the awe, like, her face is forever left imprints on my mind. Like, I will now, I can always pull up that memory. And it was in that moment I turned to my husband and I said, I think we have something here. I'd like to quit my job and do this full time.
I just can't not smile when I hear Meg's talk. I'm telling you. And what am I sharing with you today? Well, okay, so the Beverly's Babies division, right? So it is the newer division of Beverly's Birthdays. And it provides free community baby showers, itty-bitty diaper bags, critical baby care items, and resource support for over 3,000 babies in the Berg. And a little more about the itty-bitty diaper bags, because I just love that name. They provide these bags to their partner network for each network's moms-to-be. And the bags contain diapers, baby wipes, a bottle, a book, a pacifier, hygiene items, a sleeper, and safe sleep information. And now, the Beverly's Babies division is managing the Greater Pittsburgh Infant Formula Bank. It just launched a couple of weeks ago, and it's for families who need baby formula during a personal, situational, or financial emergency or crisis. There are 3 formula banks available for the public to directly access. One is at Beverly's Birthdays headquarters, which is in North Huntington. Also, the Homewood Family Center and Early Learning Hub, the McKeesport Family Center, and then there are 2 additional locations which will become available starting on July 18th, and those are the Hilltop Family Center in Mount Oliver, and the Highlands Family Center in Tarentum. And a family can visit any of these formula banks, and their child can receive 12 standard cans of infant formula per year and up to 2 standard cans per visit. So, details about this program are available at their site, beverlysbirthdays.org. I love this. I'm telling you, Megs, she just keeps going, right? And it's so inspiring. And everything that I've been sharing with you is so inspiring. All of these folks that we've gotten to hear from again. And like I said, it serves as a reminder, you know, as we keep hearing from people and learning about all these organizations right here in this area. And as I said earlier, just revisit these groups. And maybe there's a group that you listened to months ago and thought, oh yeah, I should contact them. And then life happens. So maybe this will remind you. And you can check out their sites, see how you can get involved. Or if you didn't hear these episodes, go back, check them out. And so again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Westview Hub, Northside Leadership Conference, Thrive Pittsburgh, Beverly's Birthdays. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Hi, Don.
Hi, Tressa. It was almost like you sighed into it.
I did.
Hi, Don.
Oh, who knows what that's about. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Yeah? Yourself?
I'm all right, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I appreciate you asking.
Of course. Clearly we don't talk unless it's on a podcast.
I know, it gets me every time at the end. I'm like, okay, see you, talk to you in a week.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The silence, though, in between when we record and then to the next week,
yeah,
is outstanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Speaking of silence.
Should we just jump in?
We should jump in. Okay. I'm ready. Hazel's at my feet and she ready.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be so happy.
Happier than I am to just join you for Name That Neighborhood each and every week.
Oh, Don. Mm. Shucks. There are only 4 statements of fact this day.
Oh.
So, that is true.
Are they true false?
No. Oh, we have done that.
I know.
No, they
are not. Work out well for me.
They are not. Yeah. But your neighborhoods.
Yes.
McKeesport.
Uh-huh.
Or Tarentum.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you somewhat familiar with each?
I am not familiar. I heard the names.
Yeah.
But I have not spent any time really in either of the neighborhoods.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm going in blind and my eyes are closed, so let's do it.
Let's do this. Number one. Mm-hmm. This town was founded by Judge Henry Marie Brackenridge in 1829. When the Pennsylvania Canal was completed between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
McKeesport.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, port is in the name, and a canal, anyway.
Oh, I did not even think of that. Mm-hmm. I get that. So, no, it was Tarentum, is Tarentum. By the way, the Pennsylvania Canal was a big deal, to say the least. It shortened the trip, just to give you an idea. Mm-hmm. To go from Philly to Pittsburgh took 3 weeks before the canal. After the canal, 3 to 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
It changed some things.
Yes, indeed. And actually, the site of Tarentum was first inhabited by the Shawnee, who established a village there 100 years earlier in 1729. And it was later called Chartier's Old Town for Pierre Chartier, who had a trading post there in like 1734 to 1743. And he was of Shawnee and French parentage. His dad was Martin Chartier, a French explorer. Mm. But then moving forward again to 1829, Breckinridge named the town Tarentum after an ancient Roman city called Tarentum that was formerly the Greek colony of Taras. Taras, Tarentum. But Breckinridge, I don't know if that was a little clue, but that is a nearby, that's a town close to Tarentum.
That I've never heard of.
That you've never, yeah, apparently. Mm-hmm. But that's...
Thank you for that,
but
though.
But for folks, no, I meant, so, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a banner day. Good start.
It is.
I feel really great about my chances for the next three.
Bad beginning, good ending? Isn't that a thing?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's say that. It is now.
It is today. Mm-hmm. Number two. National Tube Works opened its doors in 1872 in this neighborhood, producing 2-inch diameter pipes for use in steam boilers. By 1901... it would be the world's largest pipe producer.
McKeesport.
Woohoo! Pipeport.
Pipeport.
You call it that?
McKees Pipe.
Those are great options. I don't know why they didn't go with either of those. Yes, so National Tube had its origins with the Flagler brothers of Boston.
Hmm.
And they had operated a small plant welding iron tubing situation.
Sure. I hope somewhere along the lines it was a Flagler tube. Because that's just fun to say.
It is. I agree.
Flagler tubes out of Boston.
Right? Mm-hmm. But they decided to move their operations to the Pittsburgh area in 1871 to be closer to other iron and steel companies.
Move your tubes.
Yep.
I'm sorry? Was it? It was tubular.
No, you have no
totally
idea.
Totally tubular, man.
No idea. It's okay. But, yes. So, they purchased the former Fulton Bowman Rope Making Works, and National Tube Works opened in 1872. They had one welding furnace, and their pipes were made from sheets of iron that were rolled into tubes and then welded. All of the iron was purchased from outside vendors. Within a year, the mill was turning out tubes as large as 15 inches in diameter and 20 feet long.
I love how these places all make their names completely obvious. You have the Tube Works, you have the Rope Making Works.
Yeah, like... So there's no question. There's no question. I know exactly what you do. Yeah. Yes. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Then in 1890, the Monongahela Furnace Company was created, and it began construction on a steel making facility next to National Tube Works. And then Monongahela Furnace sent almost all of its steel to the National Works to be turned into pipe. Hmm. One more thing.
Oh, boy.
And by 1901... National Tube Works became a subsidiary of U.S. Steel, and that's when it was the world's largest pipe producer, as I mentioned. In the world!
Sing about it.
I'm going to sing about it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Where did they produce the honeysuckle?
Oh, my God. Okay, listeners, if you're not sure, you got to go back 2 episodes.
Sure.
And then the last episode, there's another reference.
Yeah. The
whatever Don
to Random Flagler Honeysuckle Works.
Very few people know that was the original name. A lot of honeysuckle in that area, yeah. And
to Random
just Flagler couldn't fit
Honeysuckle
it all.
Works of McKeesport,
yeah.
Out of Boston.
That's right. That's that Boston
subsidiary
honeysuckle of, is the good stuff.
Yeah, the subsidiary of Phipps Conservatory.
Oh Lord, number three.
Mm-hmm.
The Youghiogheny River parallels the Great Allegheny Passage from Confluence, Pennsylvania, to this neighborhood, forming the deepest gorge in Pennsylvania through Ohio.
I'm sorry, that just sounded ominous. Forming the deepest gorge in Pennsylvania. bet it's gorgeous.
No, God, no. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's devolving so quickly.
Try to get through it. Try to hold it together. Are you the host?
The Yakagani River.
Yakagani.
Yes. Parallels the Great Allegheny Passage.
Sure.
From Confluence, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
to this neighborhood, forming the deepest
gorge
in Pennsylvania. Through Ohio Pile State Park.
Tarentum.
No, it's not.
Cool.
It'd be McKeesport.
It's great. It makes no sense to me from where I know McKeesport to be.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
it's
yeah.
down there too.
Yeah, it's actually at the McKeesport is the northernmost point. That as far as the trail goes.
So you're saying your statement of fact is a lie.
No, it's not actually what I'm saying. I'm just saying as far as how you're thinking about it, it could... Okay, I'm going to keep going. The 134-mile Yakagani River flows north from West Virginia and Western Maryland through the Laurel Highlands, eventually into the Monongahela. And along the way, it parallels the Great Allegheny Passage from Confluence to McKeesport, and that river itself is known for the most popular class 2 and 3 rapids in the eastern U.S. How about that? Also,
yeah.
This Yakagani River Trail that I was mentioning
mm-hmm.
has 27 miles of trail in the Ohio Pile State Park and part of that Great Allegheny Passage that connects Pittsburgh to Cumberland, Maryland.
Hmm.
And this trail was once the rail bed for the Western Maryland Railroad. Ohio Pile State Park, by the way, is one of the largest parks in Pennsylvania at 19,046 acres.
That's a lot of acres. Yeah.
A lot of acreage there.
Hey, you know who's waded in the Yakagani, don't you?
Who?
Our little hazel dog. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I meant waded, like...
Not waited.
That's what I thought.
Waded.
She swam in the Yakagani.
She swam.
She took to it.
Yeah. Hey, little dog.
She's a fan of the Yak.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of you, Don.
Oh, thank gosh.
As we go on to number 4.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Tarentum.
I don't care anymore.
No, go ahead.
I'm not even going to read it.
No, the listeners will be sad.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, for you. This neighborhood is home to the Toured Mine and Museum, where tour guides are real coal miners who treat you to an educational tour 160 feet below the Earth's surface.
It's going to be a tough one. Tarentum!
I swear to God. You are correct.
They told me to rent a tum tum.
What is happening?
I don't know.
What's happening is
I'm only 50% for the day. I'm two and two, so.
It's okay. You're right. You ended on a good note.
Yeah.
So, did you know about this place?
No.
I didn't either. And since 1970, it's been. So, first of all, we talk about this site. So, coal mining activity began at this site as early as 1850. It was known later as the Avenue Mine. Operated by Allegheny Steel and mined by the Leechburg Mining Company. And then years later, it was modified. The coal mine was modified for visitor comfort and safety, of course. And it was opened as an attraction in 1970. And since then, over 1 million tours have been given.
Wow.
They also have this museum that has thousands of authentic historical pieces on display. And they're not just related to coal mining. They also have general store items, countless tools, unique antiques, and I'm so glad I get to include this. This is from their website. You can say it's one of the coolest family attractions in Pittsburgh. That was for you.
Thank you. I love that they have unique teaks, too.
Unique teaks.
Yeah.
Got that right.
Yeah, so I need to shorten words. And Unique Antiques is too long.
Yeah.
Unique Teaks. Or Neek Teaks.
You can just keep going.
No. Okay.
I'm going to hashtag that. Neek Teaks.
Neek Teaks.
As always, Don.
Yeah.
A true pleasure.
I'm sure it was. Yes, it was.
Okay. Thank you. And until next week when you and I talk again.
Yes.
After this week goes by where we don't talk.
And never before.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my, that was quite a round we had there of Name That Neighborhood. And that is going to bring this episode number 59, to a close. I am your host, Tressa Glover. Please do be sure to check out our show notes for all of the info about our featured follow-ups, the Westview Hub, the Northside Leadership Conference, Thrive Pittsburgh, and Beverly's Birthdays. Thank you again so much for listening in. And we have some exciting things in the works over the next couple of months, by the way. So please do keep tuning in to hear all about them. Please follow us on social media if you're so inclined, on Instagram, on the Facebook. We are at Yins Are Good. And until next time, my friends, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks to Don DiGiulio, and as always, for our most fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.